One of my husband's all-time favourite films is The Longest Day. It was filmed in 1962, based on a book of the same name, and it recreates the events of D-Day, June the 6th, 1944, that day when the Allies invaded France and turned back the tide of Nazi domination of Europe. The film boasts 48 international stars, the likes of John Wayne, Sean Connery, Henry Fonda, and Richard Burton. For me, it's always been known not just as The Longest Day, but also as the longest film, as its running time is a few minutes short of 3 hours. In the summer, we had a holiday in Brittany and for the first time made the sailing across to Caen in Normandy. My husband was delighted to realise that this meant that we would be very near the site of one of the first assaults featured in The Longest Day, the attack on Pegasus Bridge, which occurred just after midnight in the early hours of D-Day. And so this August, we found ourselves at 7:30 in the morning, a beautiful, hazy, still, sunny day at Pegasus Bridge. It certainly brought the film alive for me. And this year, of course, marked 75 years since D-Day. Pegasus Bridge is one of two bridges close together that cross the Caen Canal and the Orne River. The task for the Allies was to take the bridges from the German forces and to secure them so that the river crossings would be open for those coming down from the Normandy beaches. And as the only crossing points, holding on to the bridges would reduce the effectiveness of the enemy counter-attack. It was a daring mission on the part of 181 men led by Major John Howard. Leaving Dorset on the night of the 5th of June, 6 gliders reached east of the river and the canal, and 5 of the 6 landed very near the bridge. Major Howard's just a few feet away. At 12:15, the men surprised the Germans guarding the bridge, and after 10 minutes of intense gunfire, they had secured the bridge and made it safe. Minutes into D-Day, the first French house was liberated, and also the first British soldier of the Normandy invasion was killed in action. Major Howard's orders were to hold the bridge from enemy counter-attack until reinforcements arrived. Interestingly, one of the men in these reinforcements ended up playing Major Howard in The Longest Day film nearly 20 years later. Major Howard had been given code words to use to indicate that both bridges had been successfully captured from the enemy. The code was ham and jam, ham and jam. These words indicated that this particular task had been completed, the bridge was secure, the enemy had suffered defeat, the way for liberation had been opened up. This morning we've heard something of one of the accounts in the New Testament of the death of Jesus by crucifixion. In the Gospel reading, it's dealt with very matter-of-factly. Jesus carried his cross to the place of execution, probably a small hill at the entrance to the city of Jerusalem. And we simply read, "Here they crucified him." That's the only detail we get. Crucifixions were very common in Jesus' day. It wasn't a new method of death, but it was perfected by the Romans, who themselves thought it so terrible that it was not permitted for it to be used on Roman citizens. The victim was fixed to a crosspiece by iron nails through the top of the wrists. The crosspiece was then raised and bound to the upright, and the feet placed one over the other and nailed to the wood. The victim was left naked and helpless and degraded, and it could take days to die. A long, slow death ended finally by suffocation. It's one of the cruelest methods of execution known to man. And yet fundamental to the Christian faith is that Jesus, the Son of God, suffered in this way. He entered into all the suffering, pain, and grief that our world still brings through his own suffering on the cross. But we read little of that detail here. We read of the arguments about the sign above Jesus' head. We read of the soldiers who rolled a dice to see who would get Jesus' clothes. We read of Jesus' concern that someone would look after his mother after he is gone. We do know that he hung on the cross for some 6 hours of agony. And yet we also see, despite the suffering, that Jesus seems to have some control. He asks for a drink, and then it appears he dictates the timing of his death. He says, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and died. I wonder if you've heard this story, whether you've ever wondered what Jesus meant when he said, "It is finished." Was he saying that's the end? His death was a failure and a waste? A life ended before its time? A cry of defeat? It's finished? But in fact, it was more like those code words, ham and jam. "It is finished" can also be translated, "It is completed. It's been achieved. The task is done." But what was it that Jesus had finished? To answer that question, we need to know what Jesus came to do. Just like the first mission of D-Day, Jesus came to secure a bridge. In his case, it was the bridge between human beings and God. And in his case, it was the cross that became that bridge. For as long as humans have been alive, we have asked questions about what God is like, how we can know him, how can we please him. And despite our best intentions, we mess up, we miss the mark. We live our lives without any reference to God, and we fall short in our relationships with others. We see it on a global scale, in war and famine, terrorism and torture. And we see it in our relationships at home and at work and in our communities. And all that has created a massive gulf between us and a holy God, and we can't bridge that gap, no matter how hard we try. Up until Jesus' death, there was a system in place where sacrifices had to be offered to God for sin. It was the only way people could be forgiven, could please God. But it was complicated, and the sacrifices had to be offered year after year. They were never quite enough. Yet there was a promise that one day something new would happen, which would not depend on people keeping God's laws, but he would be their God and change their hearts. That one day a servant of the Lord would come who would himself be pierced for the sins of others, would bear punishment that would bring them peace. Today, we still try to find our own way back to God. We think we'll be accepted if we're good enough, or if we do enough religious activities to get God's attention. On our own, we are stranded with no way of getting back to God. And so Jesus came and lived a perfect life and died in our place to secure the bridge and enable us to know God and to experience peace with him. It is finished. Jesus cried out in victory that he had done what he had been sent to the world to do, that the gap between human beings and God had been bridged. It is finished. Jesus had shown God's love, offering the ultimate in love for us. God loves us so much and wants us to walk with him so much that he sent his son to die for us. God's love and forgiveness are opened up. It is finished. There is nothing more to be done. The bridge is secured at the high price of Jesus' life. There is nothing for us to contribute. There never will be. All we can do is come to him and accept it or reject it. Ham and jam. Securing Pegasus Bridge, the first victory of D-Day, that longest day, was just the beginning of a mission that marked the turning of the tide in the Second World War. It is finished. Securing the bridge between us and God through the cross, that greatest day, Jesus' task was done. But it was also just the beginning of a mission that began on that first Good Friday and continues today. Ham and jam. It is finished. These words indicated that the task had been completed. The bridge was secure. The enemy had suffered defeat. The way for liberation had been opened up. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you that in the cross of Jesus, it is finished. The bridge is secure, and the way to you is opened up. Turn our hearts to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.